Welcome to People, Places, and How We Use Spaces, where we chat with amazing, successful people whose stories inspire us. As a bonus, all of our guests have something to teach us about commercial real estate based on their own experiences. I am your host, Lisa Christensen. My companies help business owners, developers, and investors buy, sell, and lease space. On today's episode of People and Places and How We Use Spaces, we are joined by my guest, Sarah Lemke. Sarah is the Director of Development and Communications for Campfire. As a former Campfire girl and Camp Tonnadoonna alum, I am super excited for Sarah to share with us how Campfire has evolved and how they are making such good use of the beautiful property that is known as Camp Tonnadoonna on Lake Minnewashta. Before we get started, I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I would really appreciate it if you would follow, like, subscribe, share, rate, review, and listen to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And now, I'd like to give a really warm welcome to Sarah Lemke. Hi, Sarah. I so am excited to get to know you a little bit better here on the podcast.
I am so happy to be here and meet you in person and see your beautiful shining face. Last time I saw you, you were in a car in Florida, so this is awesome.
Yes, it's much better in person. I really appreciate this so much more. And, you know, I think it's really fun to have you here and have a different perspective. You know, a lot of people that come on to the podcast are directly involved in commercial real estate ownership or development or really, and we're kind of here to talk a little bit about a really special property in Chanhassen. Is it technically Chanhassen?
Yes.
Okay. But well, before we get to that, what brought you to Minnesota?
Yes. Okay. So I grew up in Iowa, in Des Moines, Iowa, if you're familiar. I grew up going to a camp, a campfire camp in Iowa called Camp Hanisha. There I met my now current husband. He's from Champlin, Minnesota. Okay. So he's half Minnesotan. And then we have a cabin in Grand Marais, Minnesota. So I always kind of like said I'm half Minnesotan. So, you know, I don't know if he'll take me, but that's always what I said. So growing up, I went to this camp, met my husband. I was a counselor there for 3 years. So camp culture is very embedded in who I am. So Campfire Minnesota opened up a position for the Director of Development and Communications. My history and background is in nonprofit development work. I came from the Botanical Garden in Des Moines as their Director of Philanthropy. So this kind of was like a perfect fit for me, and it was a good time for me and my family to explore a new city. We have a 2.5-year-old son, and it was just time to get out, you know, especially after he was a COVID baby. So it was like time to go explore another city for a little bit.
But I love that. So you just picked everything up and
we just came.
Came to Minnesota.
Came on up.
I love it. And so Campfire, love to kind of learn a little bit more about what it is today. I was a bluebird and a campfire girl. And for those of you that are on YouTube watching, you can see I have some of my bluebird little jacket and my campfire girl instruction adventure book that we got all our beads. We did little projects. And I sold candy door to door, and I'm kind of feel like, you know, a lot of those things that I did then kind of helped me become the business owner I am today. So I have a really warm spot in my heart for Campfire, but Campfire is a little different today than it was.
Super different today. And did you sell candy? Did you guys ever sell marshmallows? I just learned that Campfire started out by selling marshmallows previous to candy.
Really?
And then...
So I must not be that old.
No, and we claim credit for creating Rice Krispie Treats. I guess this is a huge thing.
Really?
Between Girl Scouts and Campfire, but that's a whole other
beef. We had boxes of candy that were like this big, and literally like, you didn't order them. We took boxes of them and went door to door, and I mean, for hours, like by myself, like going door to door to strange people's homes. Like apparently nobody was afraid of anything then. So just send your 9-year-old out the door and go door to door. And I mean, I was all about getting those awards and selling as many as I could. And no marshmallows though. All candy.
Okay. So vastly different than when you were growing up. So when you were growing up, we still had a club program. Our club program was mainly run by volunteers. Campfire would have had, and I actually just got to meet our volunteer manager a couple weeks ago, our old volunteer manager, Carol. She managed it for like 10 or 15 years, and she said she had like 70-some volunteers. These volunteers were parents, primarily.
Yeah, my mom was one, a leader. Yeah,
who are troop leaders. And it was just really cool to hear her stories about how they engaged with youth throughout the Twin Cities area, right, through these club programs. And the club programs that you're probably familiar with that Carol helped lead were just like obviously doing candy sales and then getting young women out into nature. So those candy sales typically would help supply some type of trip that you were going on or some type of service project you wanted to do in the community. It's cool because every club was different. Every goal of the club was different, but kind of a cool history there. So Campfire is a nationwide organization. We have about, I think, 47 councils across the United States. And Campfire Minnesota is a piece of that. Campfire National was started in 1910. And then Campfire Minnesota was, we're coming up on our 100 years. So what is that? That's 1924? Am I getting my years wrong? 100 years.
Okay.
100 years we've been around next year.
Okay.
Okay.
Whoop.
Oh, whoop. I keep saying 100 years and I need to know the year that was. Yeah.
We can do that math.
We'll figure it out. Uh-huh. We'll do that math. Uh-huh. Later. Yeah. Anyway, okay, so Campfire Minnesota. So now today, we've grown drastically. Again, when we started, it was for young women to get out in nature. It was really the space to be inclusive. It started where there was no space for women to enjoy nature. They just didn't feel like there were any programs for them. And it just was a space where we could go out and adventure. So they started it. And then it grew in 1974. They started welcoming boys to camp. And then now it is the organization that it is. So Campfire Minnesota specifically, we serve about 10,000 youth each year. We not only have camp programs, which camp programs are summer camp, and then we have day camp and school break camps, but we also have after school time programs or after school.
In the schools?
In the schools, okay. Yep. And that program's evolved as well. That program is in North Minneapolis schools. We have 6 schools right now that we work with. We go in there twice a week. We are like the nature partner for after school. So we might be doing things in the school, some of our environmental education topics in the school, or we're taking those youth out into parks. So we're going to community parks and teaching them how to ice skate or teaching them how to snowshoe or hammocking or birding, just anything to get those youth in their parks. That program is super cool because a lot of the young people we work with, it's in the parks that are in their neighborhoods and they've just never explored them. A lot of them don't feel like that's a space for them. So Campfire is really opening up the door for them to have curiosity in their local communities and parks. Another piece of that program is we have those youth come out to camp as well. So we reserve summer camp spots where they can come out. And then finally, we have our environmental education program. So environmental education is pre-K through all the way up through seniors. We have field trips that come to our property, and then we go to schools as well. And we do a bunch of partnerships within that core programming as well. So one is with a preschool. We have a preschool partner where they come out twice a week and then we go to them twice a week. Most recently, they went sledding and then they did nature yoga. The youth in that program are getting so good at figuring out what type of trees are based on leaves. They started identifying it based on bark.
Oh, wow. Really cool. That's really cool.
Yeah. And then we have Exploration High School is another piece of that program, the environmental education program. This is another nature partner where today, actually, they're doing maple syrup tapping.
Oh, that's very cool.
Uh-huh. And then we're going to be trying to make our own campfire maple syrup. So,
and they'll be doing that on the property.
On the property.
So let's talk about this property.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of a special place.
Yeah, it's a super special place. Like I said, it's been around for about 100 years.
I always called it Camp Tanaduna.
Yes.
But it's
okay, a lot of, I've talked to people throughout different eras, and they say Tanaduna or Tanaduna. So,
okay.
I don't know. I think it depends on your era.
It's like apples or, potato, potato.
Yeah, yeah.
Or is there a correct way? Because it's an Indian term, right?
Yeah. So we ended up, so it was called that for what would that have been? Like 96, 97 years. Campfire National did a cultural appropriation audit with all of the councils across the U.S. And really, it was looking at camp culture specifically. I mean, a lot of camps have a lot of cultural appropriation specifically with Native American populations. But Campfire, too. Campfire had a lot of things ingrained that we look back now and we're like, that probably wasn't okay, you know?
Right.
And learning
from that. Makes sense, yeah.
Yes, learning from that. So it actually, it's just a made up name based off the Native American language.
Got it.
And so, yeah, we decided to change our name last year just to Campfire Minnesota. It's also, I think, been a gift because it helps encompass all of the incredible programs we have. We're not, a lot of people know us for camp, but we have all these amazing programs across the Twin Cities area.
Let's talk a little bit about this property.
Yes.
You know, I had the privilege of going to camp when I was younger and lived in Bloomington at the time, and driving to this property, I thought I was in Kansas. I mean, it felt like it was so far away from home. Yeah. And here it's right in our backyard.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Talk to me about the size and the history and the property.
Yeah. Okay. So it's 103 acres on Lake Minnewashta, if people are familiar with that area. Absolutely gorgeous. Again, being from Iowa, when I first drove up, I was like, am I in heaven? What's going on? It was in the fall. It was beautiful. The leaves were out. It's probably about, gosh, like 30 minutes from downtown Minneapolis, St. Paul. It originally was Governor Lynn's property. So he had his vacation home there right on Lake Minnewashta. And that home is still there. It's this big white building with big columns in the front. And he ended up giving that land to Campfire. So his home and all the land that it sat on to Campfire. I believe the Rotary Club of Minneapolis helped us with that first purchase. I'm still looking into, I just started in late October, early November, so I'm still looking into all the history. But again, that camp has been there for a long time, and years of memories and years of campers attending camp there.
Yeah, and all kinds of different activities, right? I mean, yeah. You've got cabins, and you've got, maybe you could talk about the big, beautiful new main structure.
Building.
What would you call that?
The Community and Dining Center.
Got it.
Yes.
All right.
Or we call it CNDC if you work in Campfire.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Okay, now I feel like I'm in the know.
CNDC, you're in the know. Yeah, so we have resident camp cabins on the property. Just again, we did a capital campaign a couple of years ago, which included the Community and Dining Center. So we
added. It's beautiful. I mean, it's stunning.
It's gorgeous. It's this gorgeous spot. And really, it was a piece of kind of adding another revenue stream to Campfire to make sure that it would be here for years to come. So that is a beautiful space to rent. We have a lot of weddings that come out there. Most recently, over the winter, Northern Express was out there. They rented our property and did the whole Christmas market style. But that building, we have all AV. It has this like so many windows, and then you look out into the woods. But when it's not being rented out, that's our dining center. And then in the basement is where we do a lot of our environmental education and field trips. We also have a test kitchen down there because we have a community garden on site. So we do a lot of programs that are accompanied with that. Outside of that, we have our cabins on the property, and then we have like day camp shelters. So we also do day camp programs. I learned this year that day camp in Minnesota is a big deal. We sold out within like 48 hours or something.
Really?
Wild. Wow. Like that.
And so that's a summer program?
That's a summer
all
program.
All ages?
All yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, obviously not tiny little
not
ones.
Not tiny but little yeah. toddlers. Yeah. But yes. And so we do day camp, resident camp, and then we do trips as well. We do Northwoods trips. So some campers can come. They spend the night on Sunday night and they prep for the trip. So they might learn how like canoeing basics, and they pack, and then they head up for their trip. And 3 days later, they come back and tell people all their stories. And it's super fun. So outside of all that, we have like a climbing wall, a high ropes course, slow ropes course, archery. We just had Shayla Reeves with WCCO come out this morning, and she learned archery with us.
Oh, fun.
Which was super fun.
There you go. Yeah.
Uh-huh. But yeah, it's just this big.
I remember horseback riding. Are there still horses?
No, there's not horses any longer.
I just learned
that we had horses.
I remember horseback riding. Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah. My camp I went to in Iowa had horses
too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember they got a little costly, and then we had to.
Well, yes.
Iowa camp had to get, yeah.
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 I also got my certification for Red Cross for swimming, you know, the advanced beginners.
Yeah.
I mean, I took my test in the water of
you got that
the
out
lake.
There?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
I've got,
my goodness.
I've got my patches. My
I
patches. I'm pretty, I did it. I'm still really proud of all that. All my buttons and my beads and patches.
How often did you guys go out to camp for the club program?
I think it was, I don't know that we went to the camp for the club program. I think I just went to camp for two summers, kind of a shorter.
Do you remember how old you were?
I would have been like fourth grade, I think. So I was really young. It was I was a little homesick, truth be told.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It was kind of my very first camp experience.
For sure.
Yeah.
I always said as a counselor I was the homesick specialist. But really it was just like I gave a lot of cuddles and was like, it's gonna be okay.
You know?
Like you had to jam pack their day with fun.
Right.
That assault is like the prime age to get youth out in nature and just get them excited about just, I think too now, the one thing that is vastly different from when you went and then when I went even too, is that youth disconnect from technology when they come to camp. We don't have cell phones. The buildings are pretty rustic as far as the cabins. And so it's just this really cool opportunity that youth don't get in their everyday life to be able to disconnect totally. And then when you're able to disconnect in that way, you're able to be authentic and joyful in a way that is very different than youth's experience now. Because, you know, could you imagine always having like a phone around you to capture a silly video of you or a photo,
you just sit. I mean, I do that now. Like, it bothers me how much I just sit on that thing, you know, and kids do that too. And the experiences at camp are just so, and like when you're really immersed in, you know, spending that time with everybody, it's, I mean, it's life changing. It was for you, obviously. You found your spouse.
Weird, right? Yeah.
I think that's awesome.
The first day I put on mascara, he was like, "You look great."
He only knew you as a camper.
Grummy little camper. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, so how can people get involved in Camp Fire and Camp Tonaduna?
Yes. Yeah. So there's so many different ways you can get involved. We obviously love volunteer groups coming out to help us prep for summer and as we head into the fall, kind of cleaning up post-summer. So if you ever have a group who, you know, you have 20 people and they want to like pull weeds or they want to clean out cabins or get mattresses out, we always need that support. And we have a couple of volunteer days coming up as well. I wish I had those dates in mind, but I can always shoot them to you.
Yeah, we can put them in the show notes.
Put them in the show notes. Okay. So we have a couple of volunteer dates coming out, but you can also rent the property. That any rental income that comes in, that supports our youth. About half of the program we have, or half of the youth we serve, are through scholarship funding.
That's impressive. If you've got 10,000,
youth. It's a huge amount, which means we're just doing a lot of fundraising. We're making sure that we aren't saying no to people and we're not turning them away. It's so incredibly important to our team to make sure that people feel like they have space to work with us. So that's a huge piece of it. So come out, rent the property, and you can do team building as well if you want. If you want to go on the high ropes course or do archery or canoeing, we'd love to add that to your rental. Donating obviously is a huge piece. Like I said, we'll always take the donation, but we actually have a cool event coming up called Cocktails with Campfire. That's on Tuesday, May 2nd. Come out. It's a little cocktail mixer. It'll be at Entourage's new building. So Entourage is an event partner of ours. They do our catering. They also are going to help like promote kind of a nature-based space to rent throughout the year. But they just bought the 1893 at the historic Grain Belt in North Minneapolis. It's this gorgeous building.
I'm excited to see it.
Oh, it's so pretty. It's so pretty. And so we were one of the first events that got to book with them. But again, it'll be on Tuesday, May 2nd from 4 to 5:30. So you'll be able to come. We're going to do it kind of camp style. You're going to have your own, like, we're going to do little tree cookies where they're little necklaces. And you can write your name or write a camp name if you want.
I got to be thinking about that.
Think about your camp name.
Okay.
We'll have an environmental education table to kind of learn about the field trips and what we do. We'll have a camp store if people want to take home any swag, and then we'll have a couple of their stations throughout. But want to make it engaging and fun and obviously space to learn more about Camp Fire.
And will you do your event in the fall as well?
Yeah.
And that's at the property.
That's at the property. That event is called Under the Stars. That is probably the dreamiest event. I didn't work there yet when it happened, but I was following them on social media at the time, and I was like, this is the cutest thing ever. I mean, just imagine a bunch of bistro lights with outdoors, and there's really good food and music, and like, who wouldn't want to be there? It's in this wooded space right on a lake. It's just a gorgeous event.
And I've got to look up my friends that I went to camp with, and I need to bring them this year.
Have a reunion.
Yeah, we need to have a little camp reunion for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we're heading.
It is like going down memory lane. I mean, yeah. You do remember, like, oh my gosh, there's that and there's this and oh, I remember that. And yeah, it's really fun.
Well, and I think to speak to that too, with our 100 year coming up next year, there's going to be so many new activities and events that we want to add in there. And for alumni specifically, we want to be able to welcome alumni back and just tell us your stories. Like, tell us what was so inspiring or different or beneficial to you growing up to camp. So there's so many ways you can engage.
Well, it's really incredible when you have when you put effort into youth, and the things that you are doing are really incredible. I've heard some of the recent camp alumni speak and what camp has meant to them. And it's really amazing that, you know, we talk about property and it can be used for all different things, but this property and being on site and all the other things that you do too, but that property is really special and has changed so many lives over the last 100 years.
Yes, yes.
It's so really kind of overwhelming.
Overwhelming, but also so fun.
So fun.
I have so much work to do as far as just learning all the decades and how it inspired different people throughout the decades. So yeah, it holds so many memories. And I think for our team, it's just a really big gift to be able to honor and cherish those and then keep the organization moving forward. It's been here for 100 years and we want it here for 100 more.
Right. And what you're doing now is so much more than I think most people would ever dream of. And so we'll continue to support and hope others will too. And it's really fun to have this conversation. Thank you so much.
To officially meet you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of People, Places, and How We Use Spaces. I am business owner, broker, commercial real estate investor, and your host, Lisa Christensen. If you like this episode, please subscribe, share, and leave a review. To connect with me or the guests on today's show, shoot me an email at lisa@christensenandco.com. That's lisa@christensen.co.com. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day.